This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Loud Nation, you're invited to take your seat.
Take a seat
at the Warriors Roundtable.
It's a three, in and out, rebound, Payton, out to Curry, lets it fly, three ball, left corner pocket.
Welcome to the table. The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game.
Curry fires away. Three ball above the break.
Here's Kevin Dan.
Right there.
And Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana with you. We hope to be getting Gary St. Jean connected shortly. I'd like to let you know that the Warriors 2023-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. As always, taking your calls all hour long, 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. A lot to get to this week. We will start with All-Star Weekend. And, you know, when I was in school and we had to peer review stuff, our teachers would tell us to do a compliment sandwich. Start with some good, get to your constructive critiques, and then finish with some good. So we'll do a compliment sandwich for All-Star Weekend. So let's start with the good, and we'll start with the best, because Steph versus Sabrina was awesome. The three-point contest between Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu, the Bay Area native who is with the New York Liberty, played college ball at Oregon, and if you ask me, would have won the NCAA championship her senior year if COVID didn't cancel it in 2020. That's how good that Oregon Ducks team was, and all because of her and Satu Sabally. But they were both incredible on Saturday night. You know, Sabrina's 26 would have been good enough to get into that tiebreaker that had like four guys in it already after their first round. So that 26 was just on par with everyone else. And she started out on fire. I mean, I think she was 9 of her first 10. Looked like she was really, really going to put a scare into Steph. And she ended up putting a big scare into Stephen Curry, that's for sure. But Stephen Curry was spectacular as well. 29 for him. Clinched it with the second-to-last shot. So it really did come down to the wire. And this is kind of what you've been hearing from anyone who's talked about All-Star Weekend, that this was by far the highlight of All-Star Weekend, Steph versus Sabrina. I loved it. There's a lot of talk about them doing this again. And look, next year the All-Star Game is going to be in San Francisco. I've heard the idea, and I'm sure you have too, Steph and Clay against Sabrina, and well, if Caitlin Clark decides to come out and play in the WNBA, she does have 1 year of eligibility left, so she could come back to Iowa, but that would be an awesome, you know, kind of an awesome quartet battle, if you will, or maybe you mix it up, you go Steph and Sabrina, you know, the Bay Area legend with the Bay Area kid versus Clay and Caitlin. There's some, not quite alliteration, because Caitlin spells it with a C, but you know, the K sound, I guess. So you could do something like that. There's also talk about it being done at WNBA All-Star Weekend, which I wholeheartedly agree with. I think it would be great to kind of do like a home and home, right? So Sabrina went on the road to Indiana for the All-Star Game and for the NBA All-Star Weekend. Now Steph goes on the road. I believe it's going to be in Phoenix this year, hosted by the Phoenix Mercury. So Steph goes down to Arizona and takes on Sabrina Ionescu for another three-point contest. I think that would be great. So that was all fantastic. I always enjoy the normal three-point shootout as well, won by Damian Lillard, another Bay Area guy. He's won it back-to-back years. So that's the really good stuff. Now let's get to the bad, because the game itself was a snooze fest, and literally for me a snooze fest, because I watched it on DVR because I didn't want to sit through a 30-minute intro and just completely devote my Sunday night to it. So I watched it on DVR after I was done having dinner with neighbors and that kind of thing, and I literally started falling asleep during the third quarter. And, you know, I guess on one side, it's cool to see a team score 211 points. Like, that's kind of cool. It would have been nice if it came with a little more defense involved. It got me thinking, like, when was the last time the All-Star game was actually competitive? And I can't remember the first three quarters of the 2020 All-Star game. And to be honest, I can't really remember much of any All-Star game recently, because they haven't, A, haven't been that memorable, and B, I don't really store a lot of room in my head for games that don't count for anything in the win-loss column. So exhibition games, I just kind of take a pass on, but I do feel compelled to watch the All-Star game every year. And I do remember the fourth quarter of the 2020 All-Star game, right before the world shut down, just, you know, 3 weeks after Kobe passed, because they used the Elam ending, and it really created some good competition in the fourth quarter. Guys really seemed to start to care in the fourth quarter. I believe it ended on an Anthony Davis free throw, but it was a really, really intense finish to, you know, what otherwise has become kind of not that entertaining of a game, and that's putting it politely. I mean, you could even tell Adam Silver at the end of the game, he hands the trophy to Giannis. He's like, Giannis, your team, Eastern Conference, set the record for most points scored in an All-Star game. Well, congratulations. I mean, just the resignation in his voice. And there was really a big kind of an effort from the NBA, the NBPA, veterans of the NBA, the legends of the NBA, to talk to the players who are going to be involved in this year's All-Star game and get them to really compete this year. Unfortunately, that did not happen. So that's, you know, that side of it, from a fan's perspective, it's really not fun to watch. From the players' perspective, I'm not sure I really blame them, because I have a hard time, even if the game was competitive, I have a hard time getting up for games that don't count in the standings. And I think Anthony Edwards, he's taking some flack for these comments, but he's not wrong. He's talking about it being an exhibition, and as a result, guys don't really want to try too hard. I think the exact quote was, it's a break from competition. And he's right. Like, why should they go super, super hard when there is not a ton on the line? Like, and I'm not saying you make it like the old Major League Baseball All-Star game and, you know, determine home court advantage through one exhibition. That's not the way to do it. And I understand the professional kind of, the professionalism of, hey, fans are paying their hard-earned money to watch this game. But I personally have a tough time. Like, I never watched the Pro Bowl. I haven't watched the Major League Baseball All-Star game in maybe 15, 20 years, probably longer than that. I haven't watched the NHL All-Star game in I don't know how long. It's great for the fans, like, but for me personally, when I'm watching a bunch of different sports, when I'm calling a bunch of different basketball leagues, I focus on the games that count. And, like, quite honestly, like, this game doesn't count. But, like, the All-Star weekend itself, there's a lot of good things that come along with it. I'm really looking forward to All-Star weekend. Next weekend, I'll get into one of those reasons why. Next weekend, next year, I should say. But it's just kind of been, obviously, the last decade or so has been tough. And we are joined by Gary St. Jean now on Warriors Roundtable, and say, I know I covered a lot of ground before you got on the air, but what were your thoughts from what you saw this weekend in Indianapolis?
Well, I can't take the other side and come up with a good debate for you. I'm in agreement with you. You know what I love now? My favorite thing was Steph Curry and the Ionesco, the three-point thing. I thought that was fantastic. I think it's just scratching the surface. I think that can really, really grow. I still like the contests. I you know, the three-point contest is always exciting. The dunk contest, I don't know. Guys are kind of knocking it, as you said. The main guys don't want to get in there. I can go back to when it started, you know, and Michael Jordan and Dominique and all those guys. And then we had the flair of Spud Webb. And so, you know, I can understand and taking the side of the players that they don't want to risk getting injured and having some, they're out a long time. And so they're kind of just going out there and just playing. You know, there's not much defensive effort and resistance. So it's not good looking. There's no doubt about it. I think the league believes it. I think the players do. But I haven't heard anybody come up with a great answer, Kev.
Yeah, I haven't heard a great answer either. And, you know, on the other side of the break, we'll get to some potential, quote-unquote potential fixes to it to make the All-Star game a little more exciting. But I do feel like we can all agree that there has to – look, not asking them to pretend like it's Game 7 of a playoff series, but it also can't be guys just jogging down the floor, you know, creating space for Nikola Jokic to horrendously miss a reverse dunk at the end of the game. And, I mean, like, the 211 to 186, like, that score, like, means absolutely nothing just because of the way it was played. I mean, it's fun to see the score go up, but you'd like to see it with a little more pace and a little more some sort of effort. There has to, like, on a scale of 0 to 100, not asking these guys to play at 100, we're not asking these guys to play at 0 either.
Yeah, and Kev, you know, maybe the idea of the European guys playing the guys from United States, maybe that would light a fire. I don't know. I'm skeptical of that. But I'm going to make you chuckle, because when we, the Warrior staff, coached, we were in Orlando, and that was Magic Johnson's game coming back from the HIV. And wow. One of the most emotional things I've seen was Tim Hardaway giving his jersey to Magic and saying, "You're starting, not me. You deserve to start." And there were a few tears in the room. Well, I got to share with you, the day before, Nelly was so fired up about this, he had some guys taping for was supposed to be just a jogger walkthrough. And he, with Magic having not played, he wanted everybody to break a sweat and get him feeling good and all that kind of thing. Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was an amazing day. And, you know, our family, MJ and Greg and Emily, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 of them. And they always left a good feeling. You saw a lot of people around the league, and, you know, the towns were all fired up. I'm really fired up for next year with the team having it here. And let's hopefully it's not like the last time we had it, where we had a lot heavier rains than we've had the last couple days in the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's much more sunny next All-Star weekend. That's for sure. Awesome story that you shared there about Tim Hardaway and Magic Johnson. That was just great to hear. Well, folks, celebrate Black History Month on Warriors Ground. Join us live at Chase Center on Thursday, February 22nd, as the Warriors face the Los Angeles Lakers, presented by State Farm. All fans get a Warriors splash towel. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representative standing by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about All-Star weekend and the All-Star game itself, and then we'll move into a very eventful last 2 days pre-All-Star break for Golden State. You have that to look forward to on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you've just joined us, don't worry. We saved your seat.
Sit down.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Curry behind the back. Wade stops it. Pops on the way. Ridiculous three on the right sideline.
Now, here's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Chase Center hosts WCC rivals the University of San Francisco Dons and the Gonzaga Bulldogs on Thursday, February 29th. Get your tickets now at chasecenter.com. Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable, taking your calls from now till 7 p.m., 888-957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. Kevin Dana alongside Gary St. Jean. And let's continue along with the All-Star Weekend talk. And I'm curious, Gary, how big of an issue you think this is about the non-competitive nature of the All-Star game. Because to me, like, I suffer through the Sunday night. Like, it wasn't fun to watch. But I don't necessarily care all that much that the game isn't that good. This has become like a huge flashpoint. You know, for like 2 days on the NBA calendar every year, on the Sunday and the Monday after, maybe the Tuesday after, where everyone talks about we need to change. We need, like, the All-Star game needs to be more competitive. This, that, and the other thing. Like, how big of an issue do you see it? Because to me, it's not super important because it doesn't count for anything in the standings. Like, at the end of the day, these guys are all very competitive when it matters most.
Well, they are, and I don't think, like, raising the money would do it. Guys are making a heck of a living. But I do look at Larry Bird and Oscar Robertson with Reggie Miller before the game, and I'm seeing Bird sitting with Bill Walton, and you're seeing all the former great players there. And they must look at this and just shake their head. I you know, how it came to this, I can't pinpoint it, but our game is so big now. Kev, you're on top of things. The ratings went way up from the year before.
Yeah,
people
I heard
just
that.
They just want to see, even though they're not going full blast, they want to see LeBron. They want to see Steph. They want to see KD and Booker. They want to see the Joker, and they want to see Doncic. And that's where it's gotten to, that they just go out there and have a little run, make one pass, and shoot from 35 feet. And it looks to me like everybody's kind of happy. I don't know what they're going to do. I agree with you. The other games, the other sports, they got bigger problems, to me, especially football. And so we'll see where it takes us. You know, you saw the look on Adam Silver's face. There's going to be talks there between the Players Association and the league because, you know, it's a big deal. It's the celebration of the NBA for the season. And, you know, it's tremendous to have the game in your city. I mean, this will be... I remember we were staying in the city, Kevin. They blocked off two of the lanes from the city into Oakland on the bridge, on the Bay Bridge.
Oh,
they, you know, it was raining cats and dogs.
Yes,
and
it was.
And they did a great job at the Coliseum. They had this gigantic tent to handle all the fun activities for the kids and stuff. But It's a big to-do. It's a big thing for each town that gets it. Every town wants to get it.
Hey, Gary, it's funny you mentioned that because I was one of those kids who went to did all those fun activities back in 2000.
Did you really?
I was 13 years old at the time, like all
Very
the shooting
cool.
games. I was all
yeah.
into it. And then I remember going home and watching the best slam dunk contest of all time, Vince Carter, what he did.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
the
just
elbow.
Said, whew, oh, yeah, that dunk is, I mean, it's incredible. One of, like, three just mind-blowing dunks he had. And let's talk a little bit about the slam dunk contest because it kind of continues along with this theme of just not being a whole lot of pizzazz around it anymore. And, look, I love Mac McClung. You know, I heard someone saying all-stars will never do it because they're afraid of losing to a G-leaguer.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that sounds like kind of a frail mindset, right? These are alpha competitors. I don't know how that sits with me, but like if that is the case, my response would be, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Matt McClung, I mean, I watched him play at Georgetown. He's a darn solid scorer, excellent competitor. I didn't know if he had a great feel for distributing the ball, and I thought defense laterally might have been suspect. But, you know, he had a cup of coffee in the league and, you know, was with the Warriors, I think, in camp.
Yep.
You know, I was cheering for the guy. I thought it was fantastic. He did some great stuff, and I second your motion. That's a bunch of baloney. And I wish that some of the guys that are blessed with the hops would get in there. The other excuse that's used there is it just physically wears you out. You know, if you go a full three rounds and all that kind of thing, that it just, whew, those guys just have, I've heard in the past. And also, their arms and wrists are darn sore from all that
yeah.
dunking. So, that's fun. I mean, you know what? Who the heck wouldn't want to just go in their backyard on an 8-foot hoop and make them believe, you know, they're Carter or Dominique or whoever? I hope that picks up too. It's too good a contest and not have some of the best guys in there.
So congrats to Mac McClung for winning back-to-back years. Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you and I called a Mac McClung Golden State Warriors Summer League game a couple of years ago at Chase Center. Yeah, he was one of two Summer League trades I have ever seen in the decade plus I've been going to Summer League. He started that Summer League at Chase Center with the LA Lakers and played two games, and then his third game he played with the Golden State Warriors. It was kind of funny to see. But look, I get up seeing G Leaguers competing it because I've been in the G League for 12 years and I love that league. But the average fan probably couldn't care less, and it needs stars. And my hope next year in San Francisco, like personally as a fan, I would love to see Jonathan Kuminga do it. Now, he told us his rookie year, get this, Gary, he told us his rookie year he was too old to do the slam dunk contest. I think he was joking with us because obviously he was 18 at the time he made that comment. But I think he would be fun to see. And at some level, it just needs, like, at least, I mean, it was cool to, hats off to Jaylen Brown, I guess, for participating, even though the dunks were not that good. But it just needs players that normal, like, casual fans recognize.
I think you're spot on. And maybe we'll help push the charge, to talk Kuminga into doing it. My gosh, everybody would go crazy watching him. And maybe we fly Jason Richardson in to coach him. And off you go. I know when Jason won those back-to-back. You know what's really cool, Kev, to watch the dunk contest? Watch the guys sitting on or behind the bench, the players.
Yeah.
And when you nail one of those guys go crazy.
They do.
And it's the same thing with the three-point contest. When they were watching, what's Ionusco's first name?
Sabrina Ionescu.
Sabrina. And so when they're watching her, they're all looking at Steph, and they're saying, oh, boy, man, you got the heat on now. And,
yeah.
Of course, he stepped up in a great way. But the players that are there for the weekend, for whatever reason, playing or whatever, they love it. So you know what? There is that passion that's still really there. And I don't know, maybe we can Kev, well, you and I, maybe that'll be something we have to talk about hard and long.
Yeah, I mean, do any ideas come to mind for you?
You know, is it good that they're using Shaq and jumping over him? I don't know if that's a positive. We had somebody one year trying to jump over a car.
Blake Griffin. The Kia.
That's what it was, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I really, really enjoy watching it. And Jay Rich, boy, he got a lot of accolades when he did that. I mean, he was a high flyer, you know, just like Vince Carter and those guys. And, you know, guys around the league, you know, they give you a fist, man. Hey, great job. You know, you were awesome. Yeah. So, the league, one of the best things about the NBA is the NBA office and Adam Silver and the relationship with the Players Association. It's not us against them. They're trying to work together. And they're going to work out, they worked out a contract with players in the league. They're going to get a terrific TV deal. We're going to see expansion in the future. But this is a thorn in the side for the league. And they're going to work together, and they've got to come up with some kind of answers here because it's too darn good a weekend to have it, you know, people saying, oh, geez, these guys are going about, you know, 2 miles an hour. This isn't good. So we'll see.
Oh, Jay Rich, he should have won it 3 years in a row.
Yes, that's right, Jeff.
That's the one thing I remember about that. I guess it would have been the 2004 slam dunk contest. All he needed to do was just, like, do some simple dunk, and he would have beat Fred Jones. But he had, like, some professionalism about him. He wanted to put on a show for the fans, and instead of doing an easy dunk, he tried to, you know, really cock one back, and he missed the dunk, and that's why he didn't win the contest. But, I mean, I have a Jason Richardson I Am Slam poster in my parents' in the bedroom that I have
I
in my parents'
it.
House still up
I
to this
it.
Day. But I do want to end, like I said, a compliment sandwich on the All-Star Weekend. We started with the Steph Fabrina talk. We talked about the bad stuff. I do want to give a quick shout-out to Basketball Without Borders because this is probably the most competitive games that are going to be played all weekend. This year's 2025 NBA draft class kids, so kids who were born in 2006. I did the games for the NBA app, and there have been some really good guys, Gary, to come out of this. I mean, Lauri Markkanen, Jamal Murray, Pascal Siakam, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There's been more than 100 NBA players who have come out of Basketball Without Borders, 40 current guys. And I'm going to give you a couple names to remember this year, Kamon Malawak and Noah Esenge. I think both these guys are potential lottery picks. I'm looking forward to watching their futures.
Now, Kev, where are they from?
So Kamon Malawak is from South Sudan. He helped South Sudan qualify for their first ever Olympics in Paris 2024. I saw him at the 2022 G League Showcase when he was 16 years old. I saw him get six blocks and hit three threes in the same game. So he's been on my radar for a while. And then Noah Esenge.
Yeah, you know who's...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, I was just going to say, Noah Esenge is from France, and they're putting a lot of good talent out of that country recently. I mean, obviously, Victor Wembanyama. There could be the top two picks in this year's draft could both be from France, and Alex Saar is Zachary Richechet. And Esenge in 2025, watch out for him.
And, Kev, give me 10 seconds. I just got to sing the praises of Sabrina Ionescu. Yeah. Didn't she speak? Not only did she shoot fantastic, but I loved her poise and her message. She was fantastic. I sat there and I said, how the heck old is she? I mean, she had it together. She was really, really special. And I think she's going to be a big reason why this thing grows and gets better. So kudos to her, an East Bay girl. Great job.
Yeah, it really could add something really exciting to All-Star games going forward, WNBA All-Star games and NBA All-Star games. If you get the best shooters from the NBA and the best shooters from the WNBA, have them do some sort of competition. I am all for that. So let's go back before All-Star weekend. Talk about the Wednesday and Thursday that was for Golden State because, boy, was it eventful. And we'll start with the more recent game, the win over Utah that they really tried to give away, nearly blowing an 18-point fourth-quarter lead, 140 to 137. I did the game. It was a heck of a game to call, let me tell you that. But the big story, Klay Thompson coming off the bench for the first time since 2012. I believe March 11, 2012. It was 727 consecutive starts that Klay had. And his third quarter, man, a reminder that he could go off at any time. He had 35 points in the win. And, I mean, it wasn't something that I necessarily expected. I'm not sure that anyone really expected it. I did see Steve talking to Klay after the team meeting that afternoon. I wasn't close enough. I couldn't hear what they were saying. But they walked out of the team meeting together. And I just thought, you know, I'm not at a lot of these road trips or whatever. So I thought it was just a normal conversation. But perhaps they were further discussing Klay's move to the bench in that game. But boy, did he respond, Saint.
Oh, he was fantastic. And, you know, you probably heard, as I did, his post-game discussion about the conversation with Steve. And I'm going to tell you again, that's a big part of the coach's resume. It's not just the X and O's. It's about the relationship and helping the players maximize their potential. And, you know, everyone, we've all watched, it hasn't been an easy ride for Klay, but to hear him speak after the game, you know, he was just at peace, not having to force shots, just play, just talking about Steve and their career and, you know, winning four championships and, you know, to enjoy this and help the young guys and all that kind of stuff. And it just made me smile. I thought it was absolutely terrific.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was some great stuff from him, talking about Manu Ginobili and how no one's really going to care about whether he started or came off the bench. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So, like, stuff like that. And really, the other upside of it, inserting Brandon Podziemski into the starting lineup. So, in 107 minutes, that starting five unit, they've played together 107 minutes this year. Steph, Pods, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, plus 57 in 107 minutes. It feels like, and that's still a small sample size, that's a little more than two games, but it feels like perhaps the Warriors found something with that starting unit.
Well, you and I chatted last week, and I thought they found something with Wiggins, Kuminga, and Green up front.
Yep.
And Klay starting. So Podziemski coming in there. I'm marveling at what he's getting done. I have so much respect for that young guy. He may not be the most talented guy out there, but he's a smart young player. He competes, and he really has a high basketball IQ. And you know what? The ultimate praise you can give him is Steve Kerr. He's got the respect of all of his teammates, and he's got the respect of all of the coaching staff. Heck, he's even probably taking charges in these All-Star games. He just doesn't know any other way to play. And, you know, I was kidding earlier in the week that everybody in the NBA better make a trip down to Santa Clara. You better check them out every year. And one of my buddies said there's a good big guy there. Well, you look at Williams a couple years ago. He's shining at OKC.
Yeah.
And now this young guy, this is great stuff. You know, I don't know why. You're on top of it. Why won't he make the all-rookie team? He's got it going. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to find five rookies or 10 rookies of his second team that are having better rookie seasons than Brandon Podziemski. I mean, obviously, what Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren are doing this year, Brandon Miller's had a really nice rookie season. Then after that, I mean, the Thompson twins have had their moments, and Scoot Henderson's been up and down this year. Derek Lively's been good with the Dallas Mavericks, but just the consistency that Pods has provided, and look, he had the 25-point game against the Clippers. Now, didn't score as much against the Utah Jazz, but he is really fit right in. There was actually a story that was
put.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm doing to you right now?
Okay.
You can't see me. I'm doing my Mutombo finger.
Don't bring
those Thompson guys and these other. Okay, Miller's having a nice year and those two big guys. But to all those other guys you talked about, nice young rookies, bright futures. they're not getting it done like this guy. Yeah, I'm gonna put a triple exclamation point on it. That entry pass from side out of bounds.
Oh man.
Who the heck has a rookie throw that pass? I mean, it's underrated, the difficulty of entering the ball late game in the NBA. You've got to be counting in your head, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. How many timeouts do I get? What's the first option? What's the second option if they take away the first? And this guy just bullets a bounce pass two-thirds of the way across the court. Perfect timing for Steph to catch that, turn around, and beat the Suns. I looked at that three times. And, Steph made the shot, and it was a good screen for Steph. But that pass, oh, man, if you love the game, you just got excited about that pass.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible, incredible pass. And to more about kind of Pods' moxie, there is a story that came out today from Anthony Slater. I was reading it before we went on the air, where they were having it, this was like, I think, second game of the season, because Draymond was just working his way back from injury. And so they were doing some scrimmages in practice and playing some games to get Draymond up to speed. And, you know, Draymond turned it over and his team lost a scrimmage. Pods was on his team. And Pods is like yelling at him like, we can't have that turnover if we want to win. And it's like, what
did he
rookie?
Really?
Yeah. Like, what rookie would talk like that to Draymond Green? Draymond appreciated it. He's like, now you better talk like that all the time. But he kind of took a step back. He's like, okay, he's about it.
I love it. That's fantastic. You love hearing that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
no,
great.
Yeah, you know, you really do. And, you know, Draymond had a really good game against Utah, 23 points. He's had a really good offensive season this year, but kind of the wild stat, he hasn't hit a three in the second half of any game all year. For as many threes as he's hit, they've all been in the first half. Just kind of tough to wrap your head around.
Well, you went to Stanford, not me, so you should have some kind of an answer for that.
Yeah, I don't.
For the life of me, does he take an equal amount of shots in the second half? I mean, early, you know, I'm not letting the cat out of the bag here. They're going to sag off, and they want him to shoot. They're trying to take away the drive. They're very aware of him changing sides of the floor, screening away. They're concerned about his dribble handoff, and they know once a game, he's going to do it where he fakes the handoff to Steph, and he's going to drive all the way to the basket.
Yep.
And that's pretty simple. But yet, I love the way he's knocking him down. He looks confident. Maybe just he's got a better outlook on the game, and he's a little bit more relaxed. But he's done a great job with those, and that definitely makes the defense come out. You know what that does? It makes the coach sweat a little bit because he's looking at his players. I told you guys, stay off him. He's got to make two or three. Now he makes two. So now you're the coach, and the players are looking over at you. You want us to get up on him? And you say no. And now you're sweating. And now he makes a third one. All right, timeout. We got to change our whole defensive game plan. So he's done a great job, whether they've been big fives, small fives, guarding them. You know, he's been the catalyst for me on the defense. And on offense, he does such a great job for Steph, you know, finding him good looks.
Yep. Yeah, it just his offense has always been underrated because he doesn't score a ton. I mean, there was that one year he scored 14 points per game in the 2015-16 season, but they haven't needed his scoring per se, but he is still very important to that offense. And it was a really impressive win. Try as they might to give it away late, and they probably would have given it away if John Collins didn't throw it out into the sixth row when he was trying to look for Colin Sexton on the wing. Closing game still an issue for this team, as we saw over these last two games. But it was a really impressive win considering this team got into the hotel at 3:30 a.m. I didn't fall asleep. I didn't go to bed until 4 a.m. And they're coming off a horrendous loss. The Clippers, you're up 9 in the fourth quarter. Ty Lue gets ejected after Plumlee gets hit with a flagrant foul. Kawhi isn't playing. Paul George fouls out. You're up. You bump the lead up to 12, and you still lose. And I hate to play the what-if game, Saint, but had they held on, they beat Utah. They're looking at heading into the All-Star break with all the momentum in the world, a 7-game win streak, and 3 games above 500.
Now, let me tell you how NBA coaches and players look at things there. Right away, you say, oh gosh, we play Utah twice within 3 days. Winning the second game of that little duo
is difficult. You're going there, high altitude, you just beat them. Now, they've been struggling lately. They've had a great run there. Hardy's done a great job with that team. I think their backcourt is subpar, but their front line I love. And you say, oh boy, this is going to be tough, but they get it. When you look at that Clipper game and you're playing at home and now Leonard's not playing, oh boy, you're just licking your chops. You're just all excited. Yeah. And then, like you said, George falls out and you think, wow, we got a great chance to get this. We're up 9. And, you know, it just the bottom fell out. And it was a tough one, but I can't let that take away from how well they've been playing. And they deserve a lot of praise. And I think, as I keep saying, just hug and cherish what Steph is doing. Now, they've got a little 3-game set here at home. And I love to look at the NBA schedule. And if you ask me today, for them to get up to 7 or 6 will be tough to do, but they can do it. Somebody up there is going to fall down. But right now, you think they might play the Lakers in the play-in, you know, 9-10. And so this is going to be a great last, 30, 35 games, because the West is, you know, those top four are jockeying for position there. Then you got the next four with Phoenix and the Kings and, who else is in there? That's going to be a great race for those four spots.
The Pelicans. So,
Pelicans. And this is great, man. Every game is big.
Yep, it sure is. And folks, don't miss African American Heritage Night on Warriors Ground. Join us live at Chase Center on Friday, February 23rd, as the Warriors take on Seth Curry and the Charlotte Hornets, presented by NBC Sports. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. We'll take one more break. When we come back, taking your calls 888-957-9570 and taking a look ahead to this 3-game homestand out of the All-Star break right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable has returned on 95.7 The Game.
Knocked it down straight on for about 28 feet.
Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The post All-Star break push begins Thursday night at Chase Center against the LA Lakers on air at 6:30 p.m. with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert. Tipping at 7, that game presented by State Farm. Back end of a home back-to-back against the Charlotte Hornets the next night on Friday, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time presented by NBC Sports. The homestand concludes Sunday at 4 p.m., 3:30 on the air, presented by Starry. Then cancel Christmas, folks. I'll be on the road trip to the East Coast. It begins in the nation's capital Tuesday at the Wizards, February 27th, 3:30 airtime, 4 p.m. tip time. And then the road trip continues to the Garden, Madison Square Garden, Thursday, February 29th, playing on the leap year day against the New York Knicks, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time, right here on 95.7 The Game. So, Gary, let's take a look at the most immediate opponents. The Lakers coming to town, winners of 3 in a row, 30-26. Great game last time they played, 145-144. The 2 overtime thriller looked like Steph had won it for Golden State, but then LeBron gets to the line, hits 2 clutch free throws. And look, you kind of touched on it, Gary. There's a decent likelihood, some proportion, that this is the 9-10 play-in game where these two teams will have to scrap to get one more chance to get into the playoffs. I mean, how wild would that be for Steph and LeBron to play each other in the 9-10 game?
You know, I think you'd agree with me, that Laker game and then the Phoenix Sun game, those were the two best home games of the year.
Yep.
And in my mind. And look, when LeBron and Davis come, they're going to play at just a slower pace. They want dribble penetration. They want Davis to have paint touches, protect the rim, and they'll run only on opportunities. Whereas the Warriors are a smaller team. So now what you really want to focus on is when you play them with Russell and Reeves, they don't have somebody. Now, maybe Dinwiddie can do a little bit, but they don't have anybody to guard Steph, in my book. But the key matchup in the game, we got to watch Davis and Draymond. That's going to be really something. And that's a tough one for him. He's so darn long. So, yes. You know, he has periods of games or whole games where he disappears. Then other games, he's all world. So that's a tough game. The Dinwiddie pickup is good for them. Russell's been good for them the last month. LeBron's LeBron. And, Hashimura's playing better lately. You know, they've got all these guys that have been really playing subpar. And, they've been playing better. So that's going to be a heck of a game.
And they really have a chance to move up in the standings past the Lakers. Right now, the Lakers are ninth and the Warriors are 10th, and that's why I mentioned that this could be the 9-10 play-in game. But they're even in the loss column with the Lakers, and they play them three more times. So there is a real chance, if they can get two of the next three against the Lakers, that they can move ahead of at least Los Angeles and at least try to host one play-in game as you try to move up the standings as much as possible here.
Yeah. Yeah, you've said it all along, Kev. When you get in those play-in games, that's like the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
You know, ba-boom, you're done. Pack your bags, go on home. And so these are three big games. Get some separation from the Lakers. Put some heat on those teams. One of those teams is going to fall back. I don't know which one it's going to be. But if you could move up to seven, don't you get a home game then?
Yeah, you would get two home games if you lost the first one.
Yeah. Me, yeah, that's huge. I don't know if it's New Orleans or the Kings, who's going to come down a little bit, but take care of your own business. And we fast forward to Charlotte. Steph's brother comes in, I believe.
Yep.
And give them credit. They've won three in a row. I've always been a fan of Steve Clifford. Mitch Kupchak's an old friend of mine. He's going to move in a consultant role, so they've got new ownership there, and that's going to be turning over there. You mentioned Miller, and Bridges has played well, and so you can't take them for granted either. And then the Denver game—that's a national TV game, I think—and that's just a tremendous matchup. But you are at home, so hey, come on, you got to step up and get this done.
Yeah, the Warriors are 14-14 at home this year. It's kind of flipped where last year they couldn't win on the road and they were unstoppable at home. They went 33-8 at home. Well, they can't go 33-8 this year, but they have a winning road record. They're 13-12 as opposed to 14-14, 13-12 on the road, 14-14 at home. And at some point, they're going to have to sweep these home stands. And look, you mentioned it, Charlotte, they're playing well. They're 13-41, but they've won three in a row. And they won at Sacramento earlier this year. They've snuck up on teams. They blew out the Hawks by 23 in their last game before the All-Star break. And then, obviously, we don't need to say much about the Nuggets. They are the defending NBA champions. They have... it's been three close battles with Denver, but Golden State has lost all three of them. They're due to beat Denver.
Well, let's add that as our third game. Beside the Suns, Lakers, that Denver last game where Joker banked it in.
Yeah.
I guess that's the top three. Kev, I'm going to say this. They're a little vulnerable because I just don't think they're trying to incorporate these young guys, and I don't think they've stepped up to the level that they hoped they would. You could argue when they're healthy, them and Boston have the two best starting lineups in the entire league. And, Joker's Joker, and we always look at Porter's beautiful shot. We love Gordon's tough, hard-nosed play, and, so it's a team. A big key for them is Murray. He's so important, and, then I look at, what KCP is? That guy is a winner.
Yep.
He's a stone-cold winner. And my son Greg coached him, you know, with the Lakers. And he said he could care less about statistics. All he wants to do is win.
And he's won two NBA championships now, one with the Nuggets and one with the Lakers.
Yes, he has.
Back with Greg in 2020. So that's the three-game homestand. Then it's a four-game road trip. D.C., Knicks, Raptors, Celtics. That gets them to 60 games on the dot. And my goal for the team, and I want to hear what your goal is, Saint, is for them to come home from the East Coast trip at 32-28. That means they go 5-2 in their next seven. You could say 2-1 on the homestand, 3-1 on the road trip, or it really, you would like to sweep that homestand, and you have two really winnable games on that road trip with the Wizards and the Raptors, and they owe the Raptors. Toronto just manhandled Golden State here at home earlier this year. So, and then maybe you try to split Boston and Knicks. But to me, 5-2 in the next seven gets you to 32-28, and that probably gets you up to ninth at the very least, or gets you certainly much closer to the Lakers.
Great breakdown, and I think people laugh at you and me and our optimism. You know, we keep planning these road trips where they're going to take care of business, they're going to win the next three. Well, you know, they should win in Washington. But then you got the Knicks, and I don't know who's going to be playing. You know, Anunoby, when he comes back, he's been magnificent for them. In the meantime, Achua's doing a good job. The center position, Hartenstein's doing well, but I don't know when Randall comes back. So if the Knicks are healthy, that's a really, really tough game. That the Garden right now is jumping like the old days. And, you know, the other two... Yeah, you're right. I mean, they really could get this thing. They owe Toronto. You're exactly right. And they've given away like three pieces. So, you know, they're just riding it out. And they can definitely get a win up there. And, you know, there's a lot of history playing them in the finals years ago.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, that will do it for us tonight, folks. We have run out of time. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass running the show for us in our San Francisco studios. Big thank you to Marika Cleto and RC Davis and James Kincaid on the Warriors side of things. For Gary, I'm Kevin Sane. So long. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
You've been listening to the Warriors Roundtable.
Curry brings it through. One hand, three. Up and good.
The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors.
That playful and nailed it.
95.7 The Game.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.